Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matinee on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am filling in for Jane Matinee, who is on vacation right now. But we are going to have a great show for you today. If you want to call in, you want to join the conversation, you can call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text that number, get in touch with us through texting or calling, or you can go on the live stream right now, which is you can go to Facebook, Twitter. We still call it Twitter here. Okay. You can also go to YouTube and find us there. You can watch the show. You can comment on the live stream. That's really, really fun. And you can also download the free Civic Media app, which allows you to call or text any of our shows by just simply going to your favorite app store of choice, downloading the Civic Media app, and then you can go ahead and call and text to us. We're very, very happy to be here on a Monday morning. It's beautiful out when you're inside. It is all, good Lord, hot outside, so I'm going to try to stay indoors as much as possible. But I am joined by the executive director.
Yes.
The very wonderful, the always awesome, the award-winning Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing Our Communities, or also known as BLOCK. She will be our co-host for the entire show. Angela, welcome to Matinee on Air.
Thank you. And it's cool to be on this side of things, too. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. When Jane told me she was going on vacation, she's like, all right, you got to book guests. You got to do this thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want some like all show guest hosts. And like, you were the first person on my list.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So we're excited to have you on. Got some things we want to talk about today. Probably talking about politics, because that's I think we were in the chairs, what, like a half a minute?
Yeah.
We were right into it.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
But as always, we also have Calvin on the boards, the board lord. How are you doing, Calvin?
I'm doing good. You know, you got me a little confused. You said we still call it Twitter. I wasn't aware that anyone called it anything else.
Oh, that's a fair point and a sick burn from the board lord. It's true. And I mean, yeah, I thought I'd give in and be like, I'm just going to call it X because whatever. And now my dislike for Elon grows exponentially day by day. And I'm like, no, because he put out a tweet a few weeks ago, which was just not a good move on his part, saying, seriously, though, when's the last time you actually called it Twitter? And oh,
literally every day, multiple times a day.
Most answers were like 4 seconds ago. So it's like, I mean, it's.
But if it's no longer Twitter, then what are tweets called?
Posts.
Oh, that's unique. I was waiting for something else. Never mind. Okay.
No, he's not going to be. He's not that creative. He's never had an idea in his life.
Clearly.
Yeah. But so we are available on the Twitter, and you can follow us on social media as well. Matinee on Air, and it's a interesting spelling, so I'll spell it out for you right now. MATENAER on Air. Matinee on Air. You can follow us on the social medias there. Also, as well as Civic Media US, follow what's going on for other shows, follow what's going on for our show. We'd love to have you aboard, and you can find out cool little stuff about us because we try to tweet sometimes.
Yeah.
It's so much to do.
There's so much social media.
It's the worst.
I hate it.
It's the best, but it is the worst.
Like, my Facebook is no longer mine anymore. I'm just like, I just post work stuff because I don't know half the people on there anymore. Twitter is the Wild West, so I'm like, if I'm feeling spicy, let's just drop this.
Yeah.
And then I get a lot of DMs, or people like PBS are like, so you tweeted. And I was like, oh, dang, you saw that.
See, I tweet stuff, and experts say no one cares. I don't get the DMs. I did get a DM from somebody once, and I don't remember what it was about. It just said, you're an idiot. And I'm like, I've made it.
Okay.
When I've gotten a troll in my DMs just calling me an idiot, it kind of felt good. I felt good.
Oh, they know not to go in my DMs. they'll do the mentions. They'll quote tweet, and I've been called everything under the sun on Twitter, especially when it came to the RNC. And
why?
I was like, y'all do understand. Y'all are proving my point that y'all are not good people, right? Just look at like the monkey gifts and the racist stuff y'all are saying.
Oh,
you're literally proving my point.
Oh my goodness.
So, okay.
No one cares what I think on Twitter. And with Facebook, I actually make it like more personal. It's where I try to be funny, I guess, because there's so many, and like you have so many connections there.
Yeah.
I don't even call them friends. No offense to the people I'm on Facebook
with,
but like, when's the last time we went out for dinner? We haven't.
Yeah.
But I drop funny things because I drop things about shows.
Yeah.
No one cares. It's in the vacuum of social media. But if I come up with a little joke or a little thought, I'm like, I'll put it on Facebook.
Yep.
And then I feel good.
Yep.
So, but we're going to talk about some things today. We have in this first hour, I want to familiarize people. Now, you've been on various shows on Civic Media. You've sat in for Maggie Dunn. You've been on Pat Kreitlow show, Up North News Radio, which, by the way, kudos to you for getting up that early. I have to by law because I work for this company.
It's because we love Pat.
It's Pat.
That's why.
It's actually Pat. It's Pat. You know, he's got Tim Walz energy. He's got that wonderful older Midwest energy. And that's the thing about Tim that I truly love is that people are now starting to highlight in social media these older Midwestern men who are doing these. Just like I saw one where a guy's like, he's like, hey, I made some sausages. I have some extra, so I wanted to make sure you're eating, make sure you're taken care of, and I think you're great. Like, he just went over to his neighbor's house to deliver sausages and a compliment. And I'm like, that is Midwestern.
Yeah.
And people are getting to know them. Like, yeah, that's our
welcome.
Style. Yeah. I mean, there is a therapy level passive aggressive nature we have, but still, we're nice.
Well, they're a Midwest nice is a thing. And I'm going to say something controversial.
You?
I know, me, right?
First, well, we are 6 minutes into the show. My pool was two, but okay, whatever.
So Midwest nice is not as good as Southern hospitality.
Oh, I completely agree.
Because Midwest nice, while we are Midwest nice, we'll dig out of like a snowstorm. We help people, right? In a lot of what like Tim Walz was saying and like demonstrating. And at the same time, we will be passive aggressive with like our racism, which is like diet racism, because everybody wants to be nice.
Diet racism.
That's what I call it. I stole that from like, I don't know, College Humor like 10 years ago or something. They had some video talking about diet racism and I was like, this describes the Midwest.
I mean, that's a huge conversation to have. Absolutely. I mean, I don't disagree with that whatsoever. And I mean, I don't know. My Southern hospitality experience is limited. I've, been to the South many times and I've definitely dealt with nice people.
Sure.
But I also probably couldn't decode everyone says like, oh, it's a bless your, it's beyond bless your heart.
Yes.
So I'm just sitting there going, everyone is just so polite.
Yes.
Like a person just to have a good day. And I love that. But I don't know what they meant. They could have been like, hey, you're walking in my path.
I also think that some of it is a gender thing, too. Because I remember the first time I went to like the South was like Tallahassee, Florida, which I didn't expect or think of like Tallahassee, Florida being the South.
Yeah.
But when I got to that campus, I said, oh, and I never touched a door handle that the whole week I was there. I remember we had like a shuttle bus, like a coach bus taking us to our hotel and to like the conference, and the bus driver would like demand he has to get off first. And if you try to beat him there, he got really upset because he had to hold the lady's hands as we walked down the stairs.
Interesting.
And so I think sometimes it's maybe a little bit more clockable as like a woman.
Yeah.
Because there's like more of it. And I think it's a little bit more obvious. But that's not to say that Midwest nice isn't a good thing. That's not to say it's not. And I think Tim Walz is doing this great thing where it's like such like a Midwest dad. You see the videos he has with his daughter and he was like, yeah, we're at like the state fair. We're going to get, a corn dog. And she's like, I'm vegetarian. He was like, we'll get a turkey leg. She's like, still vegetarian. He was like, not Minnesota.
Yeah.
Right. Like that is like peak Midwestern. And I saw this clip that was floating around between him and Kamala. They were talking about food and he was talking about how he made white guy tacos.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that, too. And every white guy in America was like, I know what's about to happen here.
And it's funny because like some people got like offended, like some of the bros are like offended. And because he was also talking, she was like, what is it? Like tuna and mayo? What do you mean? Like that's she's what Kamala
doing, I'm sorry, but she's married to Doug Imhoff. She knows what a white guy taco
I know.
Is, please.
And then so he describes it and she was like, do you put seasoning in it? And he was like, no. And she was like, oh. But it was like such a wholesome moment because also everyone knows, I don't know if everyone knows, but like Kamala is like a big, like she's a big cooker. Like she loves to cook. She used to do like these Instagrams with Doug holding the camera. I saw one the other day that popped up. She's like, let me show you how to make a tuna salad.
Oh, and did it anger Fox News? If you can find that clip, we can play that clip, but go
what
ahead.
What doesn't anger Fox News?
It's the most incensed thing. It's like... I know I'm straying from the moment here, and we're having a fun moment talking about white guy tacos, which, by the way, I'll eat.
As long as they're seasoned, I'll eat them. Listen.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll eat them.
But this mention that like, they get so mad about these little things, these tiny little things. They don't get mad about policy.
Yeah,
they don't get mad about, like, war. They like that Democrats start. They don't get mad about like anything. They just say like it's burning cities and she cooks. Like it's one side or the other, and there's no in between where you can just have a rational moment.
Yes.
Calvin, this is Fox News' response to Kamala Harris cooking. Go ahead.
I need one more second, Greg.
I'm sorry. I thought you had it. My apologies.
But that I did have something to say, though.
Oh, go ahead, Calvin.
And not like it also has like the fact that Kamala Harris said, "Oh, white guy talks." Does that mean it has tuna and mayo?
Yeah.
People are like, "Oh my god, that's racist that she said that."
Well, first of all, she didn't say what he said. White guy tacos.
But then when she asked, "Does it have tuna and mayo?" They're implying that that was a racist comment, and of course, using it to say things. Can you imagine if I said black guy tacos and then list racist things?
Yeah, because they're never more excited than when they feel oppressed. But like, also, tuna and mayo. That's just a wrap. Let's just go.
Yeah, right. That's like a tuna melt.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, it's so funny what they get outraged mm-hmm. over. As you said, like it's nothing meaningful mm-hmm. because they're also mad that like Tim Walz made sure that like all kids could have free lunch
and breakfast.
Yeah. Like that's what you're mad about. Like, how do you look in the mirror and be like, I'm a good person because I'm mad that kids can eat?
Because I'm happy that we keep our tax money. But
it's weird.
It is very weird. I don't understand it because I can't put myself. I want to always put myself in the headspace. I'm like, I want to think like that for 10 minutes.
And then that's it. Like that's how I feel when I watch Fox News. And then I was like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah.
But we're going to keep the conversation going. And we are going to talk about the work that you do with Block, unless we talk more about food. But we're going to be talking to Angela Lang, who is our guest co-host today. And you can get part of the conversation, 855-752-4842. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. See you soon. She don't mean no. Just don't know what else to do about it. James says. James Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation for the next 2 weeks. That was the most radio DJ.
Good for her.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no, I am 1,000% in favor of vacations. One must vacate to get refreshed.
Yes.
But you could be part of the conversation if you are not on vacation. If you were just hanging out at home or at work or in the car, do it safely. But call us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Be part of the conversation. You can also download the Civic Media app and make a call or a text through there. You can join us on the live stream, which is on YouTube, the old Twitter, as well as the Facebook pages as well. And find us on social medias. Follow us on social medias. Like and subscribe. Do all the things. But we're getting back to our conversation.
Can we talk about Andrew's comment really quickly?
Oh, sure, of course.
Because I didn't know this.
So earlier, let me reintroduce you, though.
Yes,
Angela Lang is our guest co-host for the day, executive director of Block, which is Black Leaders Organizing Our Communities. And we're talking about various things up front. It's a Monday. It's a mix. It's a potpourri, if you will.
Yes.
It's a potpourri. And one of the things that you asked about was, you know, the if Twitter has tweets, what are things on X called? And I said they're called posts because that was the most bland thing they could call them. But
yeah.
Andrew in Maine has a better idea. He said, posts on X are supposed to be called X's. X's, like those things we left in the past.
It's perfect.
Boom.
I love it. Just needed to get that on air. I love that.
But one of the other things we were talking about, the fact that we were talking about cooking, we were talking about, like, you know, white guy tacos, which, you know, I'm a white guy and I do not take offense by white guy tacos.
What is there to, I don't understand. Okay, because, like, as a pansexual, queer, black woman, millennial, right? Like, yeah. I have a lot I could be offended by. Shocker. But, like, it's usually down to something structural, or mm-hmm. if it's, like, leaning into stereotypes, which, again, flow into structural oppression.
Yeah.
Why is white guy tacos, like, I just need someone to help me. Like, how are you oppressed by someone saying you eat white guy tacos? Fox News.
As a white, I mean, as a white queer man, I can answer this easily. We're not. So
I try to figure, I'm just like, huh? I try to put myself in other people's shoes. I really do.
And what do they, I mean, they have oppression cosplay, essentially.
Oh.
It's oppression cosplay. They want to feel part of an other, so they make up a reason to get offended. So when they hear white guy tacos, and also I bet you if Tim Walz were to explain white guy tacos, where he heard that from, he probably from the video that came out on TikTok with the song is like white people tacos. And
I mean,
that's just because his daughter showed it to him, and he's the kind of guy who's like, yeah, show me your TikTok. I'd love to watch the TikTok. What's a TikTok? So, like, let them become offended. They are not oppressed. They are incredibly free. You're always free. Calm down. But we were also talking about Kamala Harris as far as, like, she likes to cook.
Yeah.
And that also ruffled the feathers of a bunch of people in New York who get paid way more money than we do. Fox News. And Calvin found the clip. And this is the reaction from, I don't even know what show it was, but it was some women on Fox News very upset that Kamala likes to cook. Calvin, can you play that clip?
Right, that would be a huge glass ceiling shatterer. But I don't want to hear about a White House, you know, president cooking like that, and especially a woman. Like, I don't cook, and I proudly wear that badge. I am not domesticated whatsoever, and my kids are pretty much, you know, fending for themselves.
Look, Cheryl, what killed me was one of the lines where it specifically said how she impressed Mindy Kaling with her onion dicing skills. And look, I'm not trying to shame anyone whatsoever, but the whole point is, why are they trying to make a chef out of someone that just has a couple of basic skills in the kitchen? And certainly, why are they trying to do that with someone who's supposed to be my commander in chief?
I don't care if the president of the United States is a good cook or not. And I think this is pandering, obviously, to women. Julie, I'm with you. My sister is a gourmet cook. I got nothing. Mm-mm. So thank you very much. No. I don't really care.
So I love the fact she ends it with, I think it's pandering, because let's just go ahead and take a look at that mirror for one thing. They're treating this with the level of intensity and immediacy that would come from a congressional vote.
Mm-hmm.
They're so upset about it. And also, the first lady, I don't know any of their names and I don't care to know their names, but she's like, I am not domesticated, which I'm sorry, but when I hear domestication, I think cats, dogs, cows, that kind of thing. But poor choice of words, in my opinion. Yeah. But also, when she says, I'm not domesticated, my kids have to fend for themselves, I'm like,
weird flex, bro.
Weird way to tell Fox News that you're a feminist. that you're not domesticated like a good housewife should be. Which is the message that comes out of most of these guys' mouths when they say, well, if women just stayed home,
right,
half the problems would be solved. Except that the economy would collapse.
That was literally the first thing I wrote down. I'm like, okay, a woman who likes to cook is bad, but you want women to basically be barefoot and pregnant in the house.
Yeah.
Look at Project 2025. Look at what your vice presidential nominee said about, like, childless cat ladies and this, this, and that. There is, on that side, a desire, a strong desire to return to, quote unquote, traditional norms. That's mm-hmm. why you have, like, the trad wives and whatever. And so it's interesting for them to be like, I don't like this. I mean, I also don't care if, like, the president can cook or not.
Yeah.
I don't care. But if I saw that, I'd be like, oh, this is a different personality side. Or, like, it's good to see somebody be actually human. Saying, yeah, my kids have to fend for themselves. If Kamala Harris said, yeah, I don't cook, my kids have to fend for themselves, and she had kids.
Yeah.
The right would call CPS on her and say she's a terrible mother for not providing for her children.
Yeah.
So, like, what a privileged thing to say that your kids are just out here fending for themselves, when if a black woman said that, there'd be real consequences. And then last thing about the pandering, it's so, like, this is the right's, like, new word. I think they just found out about the word pandering. I don't know, because they're not using it right. And so, like, there was a picture that was floating around. For the record, Kamala Harris is black and Indian, right? Like, we know this.
Wait.
We know that multiple things can be true, right? Yeah. And so black people, not all of us, but we like to partake in certain cuisine. And so like she was seen putting like hot sauce on like greens. And I think there was like fried chicken or whatever. But people were posting it and were like, look at her pandering. First of all, it was an old picture. But people try to make it seem that like now that she stepped into like this nominee role, now she's starting to take pictures with hot sauce. That's not true. And also tell me how you can pander to a group of people that you are a part of. Like, I don't, like, if she's pandering to women, okay, she's a woman. Like, how do you pander to a group that you're actually a part of?
Could it be because the people who call, say she's pandering view it as, like, oh, she doesn't, they're on behalf of her saying, oh, she doesn't feel black enough or Indian enough, so therefore she's doing the things of that culture and that community to make herself more in line with that culture. That's what I'm asking from the outside perspective.
That's a them problem.
Exactly.
If you don't know what it means to be black and you think eating hot sauce is pandering as a black person, I don't think you, white man from wherever, have an understanding.
By the way, it really would behoove you to watch the live stream because the faces that Angela makes.
My faces are always a problem. My team makes fun of me. It's who I am. My faces. Fine.
That's why we brought you on the show today. And we're going to keep the conversation going, talking about the work of Block, with Executive Director Angela Lang, who is our host all show long. Keep it here. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation. Did I say that right? I said that right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I saw your face go up and I was like,
We love her for being on vacation.
Yes, absolutely. Jane is on vacation for the next 2 weeks and I, Greg Bach, will be sitting in for her, having some fun times, good chats. And today is a wonderful day because we have Angela Lang, who is the executive director of Block, which is Black leaders organizing our communities. And we've been talking about some stuff, catching up from the weekend, talking about white guy tacos, the important stuff, Calvin. But let's now move the conversation to Block and what it is that you do as an organization and your goals, and just kind of give us a almost like a day to day, as the executive director, like when you leave here.
Yeah.
right now I'm giving you 2 hours of fun time. I have to think about work. Uh-huh. But once you leave here, it's going back to work. So tell us about Block.
Yeah. So I'm going to start at the beginning.
Please
do. Is the full story.
Oh,
so Block was founded in November of 2017. And in a lot of ways, it was a response to the 2016 election. We didn't like that Trump was elected. That was a big factor. But for me, I was also more frustrated by people's analysis, or I would say lack thereof. And I literally had a white woman shake her finger in my face and said, if you people would have just voted, we wouldn't be here.
I differ on that. I think we both know what we're talking about here. White women voters.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I was like, we're not going to talk about how the 52% of white women voted for Trump, but yet a community that was some of the most disenfranchised and least engaged is to blame. Also, mad disrespectful to literally wag your finger in my face.
Yeah.
And it's a miracle she left with it. Just going to be honest. But that was enough of a driving factor for me to be like, you know what? If that is the analysis, we're going to be right back here in 4 years. And I think there was a New York Times article or Washington Post article that came out shortly after the election that interviewed black men in a barbershop here in Milwaukee. And they were like, I don't think any candidate spoke to me quite literally, but also I didn't see myself reflected in either campaign, and this is why I didn't vote. And so you see this article, people told you that they weren't engaged in any way, in a meaningful way, and then yet somehow we were to blame. And I took issue with that, quite frankly, and I think that there was a hole at the time of like explicit Black-led political organizing. I think folks had kind of dabbled into it, but there wasn't like a dedicated organization with a year-round presence to do that. So I got some of my friends in a room in summer of 2017. We locked ourselves in a union room, a union hall, and we sketch out what is now BLOC. And two things that came out of that meeting, and I wish I still had the butcher paper where we wrote this down. I said it needed to be BLOC AF and Milwaukee AF.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of folks that wanted to support. And I was like, this is not going to be one of those organizations you dump a bunch of money in from DC or New York and think that you can control what's happening. If you really believe the year-round vision, give me money and support me in other ways. And so we knocked our first door November 29th, 2017. Bless everyone's heart. That original staff that believed in a crazy, ridiculous vision and was knocking on doors in the end of November because we wanted to talk to folks. And so what we did is that we asked the question, and we still ask this question to this day, what does it look like for the Black community to thrive? That is our like icebreaker opener. And for a while, we used to get a lot of crazy looks. People are like, I don't know. What?
Can you give me a moment?
They're like, thrive. Yeah. I'm just trying to survive day to day.
I mean,
And like, that was real. So people were like, well, why are you really here? What do you really want? Like, let's cut to the chase. If somebody knocks on my door, they usually want something. They want me to sign something. They want me to do something. Why are you actually here? And we're like, we want to listen to your issues.
Yeah.
And people are like, what? So it took a while to actually build up that trust because I think organizing, not all of it, but a lot of organizing can be very transactional. There's going to be people, it's the end of August, that I assume are going to be flying into Wisconsin in the next couple of weeks, and they don't live here, and they're going to give their all to whatever campaign, which is fine. But when you are not a part of that community, it becomes very transactional. So you have people knocking on doors that are from here saying, this is how you and your people should vote. Yeah. And then like, poof, we never see you again.
I mean, it's their own version of waving that finger.
Exactly.
It's they think they have everything in mind for you, but they don't know you. They're not a part of you, your community. And that community doesn't just, I'm not even talking about the Black community because I don't belong to that, so I don't know. But like non-Wisconsinites coming in telling us how to vote. It's like, I get it, and I'm probably going to vote the way you want me to, but the conversation you're talking about is so important. And some of the politicians we have on the show, you know, the best ones to talk to are the ones who, you know, your Lee Snodgrasses and your Francesca Hong. The importance of door knocking and not just saying like, hey, I'm Fran Hong. She's like, no, tell me what's going on in your life.
Cause she cares. Yeah. That's why she's knocking doors, because she actually cares. She wants to listen. And she also understands. I love Fran, by the way, dear friend.
I would. Yes.
I could talk to her
we should just call her. Oh, no,
hey Fran. But no, like seeing her like social media, and shout out to her, chief of staff Netta as well too, is like, they are very aggressive in trying to build relationships, but then also understand people so that they can meet them where they're at. You can't have a conversation and try to find a commonality if you're not listening to what people care about. And the way that she travels the state and approaches it, I think, in a very kind and compassionate way, we need more of that. And that's also part of like what we do too, is like, if we knock on a door, and this is not uncommon, if somebody is like, I don't believe in politics, nothing's going to change in my life, I don't even feel the need to participate, instead of, you know, chastising them or, you know, trying to be like, oh, I don't understand, or just belittling people and shaming people. I don't believe in shaming people into voting. That's one, not sustainable. And two, like, that's just not helpful, because if you are condescending to a non-voter, I'm not going to do anything you want me to say, including vote.
Yeah.
I want to understand why you feel left out of the political system. Is there a way to bring you in? Is there something we as an organization can do? And so for us, we have a year-round field program. Mm-hmm. And I will keep saying this until someone corrects me. No one has yet. We are the only organization in Wisconsin that has a dedicated field program year-round specifically to the Black community, not just in election time. So we have what we call ambassadors, which I nickname canvassers on steroids. We don't just...
I've heard about your ambassadors,
They're beasts. And I say that in like the highest, most loving way possible, is that we put them through 30 hours of training before they even knock a door. It's not, hey, vote for this candidate. Do you know what the U.S. Senate does? Do you know how it directly impacts you. Do you know how long they're in office? Doing that education on doors instead of saying, hey, vote for Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah.
People are like, I don't have a connection to Tammy Baldwin. Who's Tammy, right? Mm-hmm. And we're like, Tammy's great. No, that's not enough, right? And so for us to be able to bring people in, we want to build people's civic analysis and civic engagement of like, okay, not Tammy, but give a random candidate, I'm not really into them. You may not vote, but if you understand the importance of that role in that office, you're like, okay, let me understand it's important for me to vote in this way. I may not 100% agree with this candidate, but I have a broader political analysis of how this directly impacts my life.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Angela Lang, who is the executive director of Block, Black Leaders Organizing Our Communities. She is our guest co-host for the entire show today. You know, I think another thing that too, that, you know, I'm sure that you know this, is just building that connection then too. Even it doesn't have to be the campaign knocking on the door. It can just be someone saying, hey, what do you believe in? What concerns you? And that can spark something. I don't know where that goes after that point, but I think it's a wonderful thing to start those conversations. By the way, if you want two great follows on Twitter, Fran Hong and her chief of staff, right?
Yes.
Netta. There's no holding back. The opinions are flowing. We also have another gentleman. We have a gentleman on the phone who definitely has an opinion or two. We love hearing from him. Tom from LA. Tom, how are you doing today? What's going on?
Well, I am a joyful democracy warrior, so I guess that's doing pretty well. And I don't believe in Project 2025, whether it was on the Democratic side or the Republican side, even though it's on the Republican side, as we all know. Difference between authoritarian dictator versus democracy. I just want to thank your guest. She's doing God's work. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
One thing I've done when I used to walk door to door for Barack Obama in Nevada is I found this quiz on the internet, and it's called I Side With, but I loved the quiz so much that I actually went and purchased the URL selectacandidatequiz.com. And I also purchased letschoose.us just because of the fact that it's not mine. I have nothing to do with it, but it's something that people can kind of take a quiz. And then when they're done, it just shows them the issues. And then when they're done, it shows who it is that they should vote for or who it is that their values line up with the most. And I think what's great about it is, you know, we all know that we have a binary choice in this country. We don't have ranked choice voting. We don't have these types of things. So, you know, whoever it is that you're going to line up with most, you know, whether it says Jill Stein at first or whatever, but then it says Kamala Harris. Okay, that means you both Kamala Harris. But what I wanted to say to you also is, do you know GregPalast.com or Greg Palast with the voting issue? Because I saw on MSNBC this weekend on Ayman Homedine, and I apologize if I murdered his name, what do you call it? True the Vote, which is part of the, which is part of, you know, the whole people behind Project 2025. Can't remember the name right now.
Heritage Foundation.
Heritage Foundation, which is all behind True the Vote.
Yep.
They're going to start in Wisconsin now going after the drop boxers and having people there that are going to try to intimidate people in voting. And I
know
you also follow the voting patterns or not, but Greg Palast has always been somebody that has been one of those democracy warriors in favor of the vote. So. Yeah,
absolutely, Tom. We've been talking about that actually, as far as like groups been trying to push their ways into the ballot and into the polling places, really like trying to get all in your personal space, trying to see who you're voting for, making sure you're quote unquote doing everything right. And also and thank you for bringing up ballot boxes, Tom. And thank you for calling, Tom. We always appreciate hearing from you. New Berlin and Brookfield voted to not reinstate ballot box drop boxes. So even though the Supreme Court in Wisconsin said that they are legal, they are safe, they're good to go, they did not mandate the municipalities to do it. They gave them the free choice. Brookfield, against the will of the people, I might add, the people said they wanted it, but the Common Council in Brookfield said no, and so did New Berlin. So there are no drop boxes. These are the kind of intimidation factors they're going to take up, whether it's taking away drop boxes, which is a disenfranchising move, in my opinion. That's voter intimidation, because people need plans. They need to be able to vote. or standing in polling places, trying to intimidate, trying to call out your ballot, trying to say you didn't do it right. These are all the things the right are going to do over the next three months. Yeah, 2 months. Oh my God, it's 2 months.
What's time? But what, I'm curious, what is the I mean, we know the reason, right? Mm-hmm. But what is the reason they gave for not having drop boxes? Like, what was their argument?
Their argument was it wasn't proven to be safe. There could be tampering. There could be.
But you're the elected.
Yeah.
Your job is to ensure that that doesn't. Whose job is it?
Well, honestly, it's the city or town clerk. And what I get infuriated because I used to work in local politics, and our city clerk JJ was amazing. She would never let anything on her watch happen. So when you say it's not safe, to me, you are insulting the clerk because you're saying
you think that,
they're not running a proper process. But no, that's not what you don't know, because they are safe. I don't care how many times you quote 2,000 mules.
Yeah, no.
It's absolute garbage to say they aren't safe. You are just trying to intimidate the people. You are trying to censor their votes and take away their rights. And that is reprehensible to me. And my mother lives in Brookfield, so that really angers me too. But I'm angry no matter what. And just like the Hulk, I'm always angry. We're going to keep this conversation going. We're going to keep talking about Block and with Angela Lang, who is the executive director. So if you want to be part of the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Drop us a text. Talk to us on the live stream. But either way, stay close with Matt and Aaron Air. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. So many words. Welcome, welcome back. Good morning to Matt and Air on Air. This is the wonderful radio program. But I am Greg Bach. I am not Jane Matt and Air. I am sitting in. She is on vacation for the next 2 weeks, so I will be your host. But it's going to be a lovely time. You're going to want to join us, have a fun time, talk to us.
We're having a good time.
Yeah, that is the voice of Angela Lang, the executive director of Block, which is Black Leaders Organizer Community. So what more could you need? Maybe some tacos. Now I just want tacos.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But you can join the conversation by going to your phone, texting, or calling. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching, which is on YouTube and Facebook, as well as the place that we still call Twitter.
Yes.
Darn right. And I got a question for Calvin really quick. Calvin, why did you play that song? Dan Schaefer is not here right now. He is nowhere to be found. I mean, yes, Angela does contribute to the award-winning The Recombobulation Area, which you won an award for yourself. But what's going on?
You're right. Dan is not here. But Angela is a representative of The Recombobulation Area, and we have a very special announcement regarding them.
We do, in fact. This is like breaking fun news.
I know. I didn't know when it was going to be announced. So it's kind of cool that it's being announced when I'm here.
And it was put on our liners. And I was also like, I was like, can I say this? I feel like, am I going to get in trouble? Even though it says today's date, start today. So I'm saying it right now. Dan Schaefer, the Recombobulation Area's founder and veteran Milwaukee reporter, journalist, is joining Civic Media as our political editor. Oh my goodness. Dan will continue with the Recombobulation Area, doing wonderful award-winning coverage. That man, just his coverage on elections as far as like, you know, the polls the night of or breaking down, like, it's my goodness.
I don't know how he can crank out so many analysis so fast. I'm like, yeah, I'll get you an op-ed by like Sunday. And then I don't start writing it until like Sunday at 7. And I was like, I can get to him by midnight and it's still on deadline, right? Like, I don't know how he does it. And I'm like, I know he's a dad. He does so much. And I'm so excited for him. He's done amazing work and how he's been able to build the recombobulation area.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And I'm lucky to just have a small role and contribute to that.
I feel lucky to know him as a person and as a friend. I find him to be inspired. Yeah, seriously. I mean, we're loving on Dan Schaefer. And if you're just tuning in this moment, it's because Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area is becoming a part of Civic Media as our political editor. He will also be still running the recombobulation area, but just adding his Dan Schaefer-ness to the Civic Media universe permanently because he's been on all the shows.
Yeah.
he is. I mean, if you know Dan, if you know us, you know Dan.
Yeah.
It's Dan.
Yeah.
But so we welcome him. We're excited to have him aboard, and it's going to be, I mean, what better time to have him too? And then that's the election.
I was going to say, that's a Twitter follow. If you don't already, like, follow Dan and turn on notifications. Because that's how I hear some of my breaking news and stuff too. Yeah. And quite frankly, I want to hear Dan's analysis on something. If I do hear some breaking news, I'm like, okay, what does Dan have to say about this? He has a very well-respected, grounded, I think, analysis that I think is incredibly valuable to Wisconsin and on a national level. Dan has brought so much media coverage to Wisconsin through his own work in breaking news and stories. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was yeah, you can have my Instagram for a day or whatever, right? Yeah. She's a subscriber, I believe. I know she's a supporter. So it's what he's been able to do with that is amazing and huge in such a short amount of time. And it's great to see this opportunity for him to be able to expand that platform too.
I absolutely agree. So welcome aboard, Dan Schaefer. You've always been here. You've always been in our heart. but it's great to have you as our political editor as well. So, as far as I know, you can still be able to catch Dan on our show 10:30 every Friday, but that may change depending on schedule. So stay here, keep it locked in. We'll keep you updated with that. But for now, welcome and congratulations, Dan. Let's finish up here with, let's talk some more about Block. One of the things I wanted to talk to about real quick, I know we only have a few minutes, but we'll make it work. Mm-hmm. We can keep talking too. It doesn't matter. Todd doesn't mind. We'll just go into the 12 o'clock hour. But you said something before about, people coming from out of the city or out of the state giving you money and then trying to create or craft your narrative to fit their agenda. And I mean, essentially, it sounds almost like an angel investor type of thing where someone says, I'm going to give you money to do your work and you do your work because I trust you versus someone saying, well, Angela, if you want to appeal to a certain demographic, I'm just giving you, I love what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I love what you do, Angela. But if you just, broaden the scope a little, there's so many more people you could appeal to.
Do you know once upon a time, not a lot of people know this, This is a little bit of a fun fact. Once upon a time, when Block was first being founded, Block stands for Black Leaders Organizing Our Communities, right? B stands for Black. And there was a moment where somebody who will remain nameless because people know them, they said, well, I think it should be a multicultural organization because I think you would have more grants and funding opportunities if you broadened it out.
Yeah.
To which I was like, no. I was like, this is what we're doing.
You can take a donut on the way out.
Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. Thanks for your feedback.
Yeah.
Heard. Not listened to. Thanks.
Listened, not heard.
But can you imagine?
Of course I can imagine
almost 7 years later, right? Could you imagine if we, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be multicultural organizations.
Yeah.
Those are incredibly important. And I also think that there's institutions that are set up by design to be multicultural. Say unions, for example, right? There's ways to do that. But the conversation was how can we have explicit, unapologetic Black organizing in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
And that's okay. We don't need to do all of the All Lives Matter thing. We don't need to do that. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I always feel like I need to preface things not being a Black person. But even if I can understand that, and I'm not very smart, Angela.
Yeah, you are.
If I can understand the need for advocating within your community and putting your community first, that only helps the community on the whole.
Yeah.
When you strengthen your community that you have control over, not control over, but direct access to, it only benefits everybody, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Kelvin, I got a point. Go. I don't know. It doesn't surprise me that someone said that.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that they probably thought as they were saying that, I'm helping. And they were probably pretty upset when they walked away saying, I was just trying to help.
Fun fact, they're a black woman.
I am not going to say anything else because I feel like I shouldn't. No, we're going to keep talking to Angela about it. We're actually going to switch gears a little bit and talk about your history with the union.
Yes.
I want to talk about that. I want you to talk about the importance of unions. And we're going to keep the conversation going into the second hour of Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Stick here. You're listening. You're amazing. Get some water. Stay hydrated. We'll be right back. Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody